The year was 1908. The woman was a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis. She celebrated a memorial service for her mother in a very small town, Grafton, West Virginia. After she had completed that service, she began to contemplate her mom and the fact that she had celebrated this memorial for her. And she thought it would be a good thing if there could be a national holiday in recognition of all mothers. And she began a campaign for that to transpire. 6 years later, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed into law the national holiday known as Mother's Day to be celebrated on the second Sunday of May. Folks, this particular day finds more flowers and more cards that are bought than at any other time of the year. Today there are more long-distance phone calls that are placed than any other time of the year. Today there are more individuals who are attending churches except for the days of Christmas and Easter. It is truly a day that is celebrated in the United States of America. Is the word mother a Bible topic? Absolutely. 292 verses mention mothers. And the word mother is used 320 times in those 292 verses. The very first time we read of the word mother, it is in Genesis 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. We turn over into the next chapter, and we read about a mother, do we not? A mother by the name of Eve, and it is an appropriate name, for it literally means this: the mother of all living. This morning we're going to take just a few moments and we're going to talk about and celebrate moms. And the title of our lesson this morning is this: Debunking the Myths of Motherhood. And there are several of them. Point number one: anybody can be a mother. That's what many individuals think. And folks, we have individuals today, children, bearing children, do we not? They start at the age of sometime as early as 12, 13, 14 years old in our society. And it's almost as if we believe that just any woman can be a mother, and that's not true, is it? Any person who is sexually mature, any female who is sexually mature, may bring into this world a child, but that does not mean that that individual is a mother. It takes some very, very special things to make a person into a mother. Some special attitudes, some special talents, some special skills that she must possess. If a person is going to be a good mother, there must be a willingness to sacrifice, mustn't there? If you're on the computer and on Facebook, just go there today. It's amazing how many individuals are talking about their moms on Facebook today. There was a man over in Paris, Tennessee, talking about his mom, and he said that his mom would always make sacrifices for him. Every time they went shopping, she'd just buy him all kinds of clothing, and she wouldn't buy anything for herself. And he said as he got to be a little bit older, he felt a little guilty about that. He'd have to tell his mom, "Mom, I don't like any of this stuff," because that was the only way that she would buy for herself if she didn't buy for him. Amazing. You see, mothers are willing to make sacrifices. Folks, mothers are willing to work, are they not? We're going to come back and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. A mother has to be an individual who is patient with children. A mother is an individual who is a teacher. A mother is a person who is a minister of other individuals. Folks, here is an individual who has more than one talent, more than one ability, more than one attitude that must be displayed if she's going to be a good mom. We turn over into 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22, and we read about a mother by the name of Hannah. And the text says this, "But Hannah went not up." It's talking about the yearly sacrifice that transpired in the city of Jerusalem. On this particular occasion, Hannah didn't go up. She made the sacrifice. It wasn't required of her by the Jewish law to be there. But most of the time, families went up, at least to the Passover sacrifice. But on this occasion, she did not. Why? Because she had a child that she had to care for. She says, "For I will not go up." For she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then will I go up and present him before the Lord, and he shall abide there forever." Folks, here was a woman who was willing to stay at home in order to care for her children. A woman who knew that she'd been blessed. A woman who knew that she had responsibilities. A woman who knew that I've got to care for this little one first before putting my own needs ahead of this child. That is a mom, folks. And not any person can be a mom. Point number two, another myth. It goes something like this: mothers are not important. Now, I know to us that sounds strange, doesn't it? But folks, the reality is that in some sense, even we as Christians have bought into that myth just a little bit, haven't we? And the reason I say that is this: when mothers entered into the workplace, did they not buy into the myth that moms really are not that important in the home? Because all of a sudden now moms are out of the home for 10, 11, 12 hours a day. And I ask you the question, for that half a day, who's watching those children? It has to be a trusted caregiver, does it not? It might be the school. It might be a babysitter. But you see, the mom has said, "I've got to get out of the home because I've got to work. I've got to help provide for the family." And we take that child and we put that child in the care of another. And basically, aren't we saying that the mom really isn't that important anymore? We may not be intentionally saying that. Folks, that's a long part of the day for a mom to be away from a child, isn't it? But today in our society, we also have what is known as the homosexual agenda, do we not? Folks, the 12th state in our union has just now legalized homosexuality. Did you know that? It is on a rampage in our society. It's just like I had predicted. It is going to be a snowball effect. It won't be long until the entirety of our nation will legalize same-sex marriage. It's not going to be long. It's happening very quickly. And now what are they desiring? You have two homosexual men living together, married one with another, and guess what they want to do? They want to have a child, don't they? They can't do that. Not biologically. It's an impossibility, isn't it? But yet our nation today is allowing them to adopt those children. And folks, in those homes, guess what there is not? There is not a mom therein. I don't care how effeminate a man is, he is never going to be a mama. It can't happen, folks. You have two men caring for a child. That's exactly what you have. And basically what we're saying is, moms must not be that important today. Another movement that we have in the United States of America is this, and it's found in many other countries, is that rather than the parents caring for the children in the home, the one who really needs to be caring for that parent is the state. Folks, again, that's a myth that the state can do a better job than a mom. Did you know that a child was removed from their home because the state believed that that child was obese? Ain't that something? That's kind of a scary thought. Your child goes to school, they think your child's a little on a fat order, and guess what? That child doesn't come home today. You wonder, where in the world's my child? And guess who has custody of that child now? The state does. Because we can put him on a diet, and you can't. There was a family the other day, you may have heard about it in the news. They took their child to the hospital having some problems. The doctors were there. They said that this child needs immediate heart surgery. The parents were flabbergasted. They were just taken back. And they said, oh no, we're going to have a second opinion on this. So they took the child out of the hospital. They took him down to another hospital. The doctors there said, well, we need to do some more study, some more research. You take the child home. The first hospital had contacted the legal authorities. The legal authorities came in the next morning and removed that little baby from the home. And we're going to take that child to have that child operated on. Had it not been for the parents going and hiring an attorney and getting to court ASAP, they would have lost custody of their child until after the surgery of that child, folks. We're talking about the laws in the United States of America. Individuals just coming in, taking our children as if they can do a better job and care for these children better than moms can, folks. Such is not the case at all. There's absolutely no way that the state can do a better job than a mother can do with that child. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 says this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Eunice and in thy mother Lois, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Question: did Timothy's mom make a difference in his life? Do you think Timothy thought that my mother is important to me? Folks, here was a woman who was married to a Gentile who was not in the Jewish faith whatsoever, who would have probably been an idol worshiper. And yet this mom takes that child and trains him in the faith. She becomes a Christian, and in like manner, she passes that on to Timothy, who becomes a partaker of the blessings in Christ Jesus and also a companion of the Apostle Paul. You don't think that man looked back upon his mom and said, hey, my mom was important to me. A man by the name of Alfred Lloyd Tennyson made this statement: mother is the name for God in the lives and hearts of little children. Folks, that's important, isn't it? A man by the name of Victor Hugo says this: mother's arms are made of tenderness, and sweet sleep blesses the child who lives and lies therein. Folks, it's hard to sleep in the arms of the state, isn't it? But it is a blissful sleep in the arms of a mom. Moms are important. And we do not need to let anybody tell us that such is not the case. A third myth, and it goes something like this: moms don't work. During the last presidential election, a lady by the name of Hillary Rosen made this statement about Ann Romney. She's never worked a day in her life. She got seven boys. Seven boys. Folks, Kathleen and I worked at Children's Home with six boys. She has seven boys. But she didn't work a day in her life. Are you kidding me? Folks, it is a myth to say moms don't work, isn't it? You want to know what we need? We need more non-working, working moms. That's what we need. You turn over to Proverbs, the 31st chapter, and you read of a woman whose name that we know as the virtuous woman. That's all we know, isn't it? I've read through that chapter several times. I've preached on that chapter several times. And the more I read it, the more I studied it, the more I'm convinced this. The inspired writer is talking about super mom in that chapter. I told you everybody's talking about moms today on Facebook, right? I was on there and there's a little cartoon. And this little boy, he was standing on a little stool. He was in his mom's closet. And he had something pulled out about like this. And guess what it had written on it? A big S. Supermom. Little girl was standing down there and she says, "Oh, so that's how she gets it all done." Proverbs chapter 31 tells us what a mom does, doesn't it? We're only going to concentrate on three verses that talk about her household, folks. Listen to them. The first one is found in verse 15. She riseth while it is yet night. Folks, she gets up before the sun is shining. And listen to what the text says. And giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. You drop down to verse 21, and the text says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household is clothed in scarlet. You drop down to verse 27, and it says this, she looketh well to the ways of her household. Listen to the summary statement. And eateth not the bread of idleness. Folks, I don't know too many moms who have two or three little ones running around who are able to just kind of kick back and watch Oprah and suck on a Diet Coke. Do you? You just don't see that very much. Folks, these women are busy, are they not? It is amazing all the roles that a woman has in her house. She is the cook and chief bottle washer, isn't she? She is the housekeeper. She is the teacher. She is the counselor. She's the taxi cab driver. She's the nurse. She's judge and jury. A lot of times, isn't she? She's the one who is the encourager. She is the one who is the child's cheerleader. She is the chief operating officer with regard to finances oftentimes. She is the planning coordinator. And she is also many times her husband's assistant. He couldn't even get dressed if she wasn't around. Folks, all of those are the roles that a mom is playing. And yet, moms don't what? Moms don't work? Are you kidding me? There were many days, I know, I was tickled to death to get out that door and go to work. Because I saw what I was leaving with Kathleen. I'm serious. One man made this comment about moms and their work. If evolution were true, moms would have evolved more hands than just two. That's true, isn't it? Folks, they are workers in the home. Point number four, a myth about moms. Moms are mean. I looked up the word mean. Here was the definition. Nasty. Malicious. Hateful. Some of the synonyms that go along with that word are this. Low, base, sordid, and vile. Now, there may be a few moms in our world who are truly mean. But for the most part, that is not the case. That is merely an accusation that is laid against moms by guess who? Kiddos. Okay. And you want to know why they say that? Because moms set boundaries. Right? No dessert till you eat your greens. Now, folks, that's a mean mom. Mom is the one who gives all the responsibilities, right? Here are the 50 things you have to do to have a clean room. Moms are the ones who hold children accountable, right? Dads don't. Mom goes out for the night, dad's there. As long as the house is not destroyed, he's done a good job. But folks, mom's not that way, is she? But let me tell you what, she is on you from can to can. And she holds you accountable. Moms are also considered mean because they are the ones who chastise, they are the ones who rebuke, and they are the ones oftentimes who discipline the children in the house. And because of all of those things, guess what children say? Oh, you're such a mean mom! It'd be great if they learned some of them other words, wouldn't it? Mom, you're sordid! You're the most vile mom who ever lived. You're about as base as anybody can get. Wouldn't you just love that? Boy, I tell you what, that kid would have trouble getting up, wouldn't he? The Bible says in Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and spare not for his crying. You turn to Proverbs 29, verse 17, and the Bible says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth a rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Did you hear some of those words the inspired writer used? Chasten. Correct. Chasten him betimes. Folks, you want to know what that means? A bunch of times, what that means. Don't spare for his crying. Don't spare the rod. And guess what? The writer sums all of those things up as a product of not hate, not meanness, but love. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. I don't know about you, but as you get older, you thank God for a mean mom, don't you? And sometimes you look back and you think, you know, she should have been just a little bit more sordid, shouldn't she? Moms aren't mean, folks. Not for the most part. I realize occasionally a mom makes a mistake and she may get a little nasty, mightn't she? But that's not usually their nature. That's not usually who they are. Folks, most of the time they do what they do because they love those children dearly and they want what's the best for them. A fifth myth goes something like this. Motherhood eventually comes to an end. And as I was thinking about this point, there are three ways that individuals might think that motherhood finally comes to an end, or at least it comes to an end. One way, the children grow up and get out of the house. Whew! Thank the Lord. They're gone. Secondly, and this is tragic, folks, motherhood ends when a child dies. Or thirdly, motherhood ends when mom dies. You want to know the reality is this. Motherhood never ends. Never ends. Those children grow up and they get out of the house. They establish their own homes. They have their own children. They're doing their own thing. But guess what? Those kids still need mom, don't they? They don't need dad too much. But they need that mom, and they want to talk to mom, and they'll call mom. Unless it's for money or something. At least that's the way it is in my house. Hannah, she took her child, she dropped that child off at the temple, did she not? Did she cease being mom to Samuel? Absolutely not. Every year she visited that child and brought him a little coat, taking care of his needs. Moms don't cease to be moms just because children leave the house. Question: does a mom cease to be a mom just because that mom's child dies? Absolutely not. If you don't believe that, go ask the mothers whose children have died. They know what. They know I was a mom. Yes, it has ended tragically in the death of my child, but I still love that child. I still desire that child. And if she is like unto David, you know what she says? One day, I will go to be with him. David and Bathsheba lost a child, didn't they? And folks, Bathsheba didn't cease to be a mom just because she lost her child. And neither do any other moms. What about when a mom dies? Does she cease being a mom? Boy, you couldn't tell that this morning on Facebook at all. There's a little girl that was there when we were at the children's home. She was about the age of my kids. Her mother contracted cancer while we were there, and her mom died while we were there. She was one of the house parents there at the children's home. And this morning, Ashley put up a picture, and she put up a picture with she and her mom right there side by side. And folks, guess what? She still loves her mom. She still thanks God for her mom. And she still practices many of the things that her mom taught her at that young age. Just because mom dies does not mean that you cease being a mom. Those kids are still practicing, and those kids are still doing things that mom instilled in them when they were little bitty and at the knees of mom. Motherhood never ends. Ever. Another myth goes something like this. Mothers don't get paid. And all the moms said amen, didn't they? If a man had to hire everything done that a mom does, it is estimated that it would take about $70,000 a year to do that. Now, moms, I'm not saying go to your husband and ask for a $70,000 allowance. If I wasn't around, you know how much it costs you, don't you? I can just hear it now. Folks, that's a lot of money, isn't it? We're talking about work day and night. And not one dime being put into their pockets for that. And so we say, well, a mom doesn't get paid. Is that true? No. There's pay for a mom. It's not just in dollars and cents, is it? There's at least four ways that a mom gets paid. Number one, she gets paid in personal satisfaction, doesn't she? Every day, you get to take those little ones, tuck them in the bed, and you get to go sit down, and you know what you can think? It's been a hard day. It's been a bad day, maybe. Maybe it's been a wonderful day. But guess what? I have had a part to play in the rearing of these little ones in my house. Folks, there's some personal satisfaction in that. Secondly, there's the end product, isn't there? How wonderful it is for a mom to see their children grown, and those children are productive citizens in society. They are good. They are honorable. They are upright. They have a work ethic. They provide for their families. They have good families. They have become Christians, and they are rearing their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And guess why? All because I did a good job as a mom. Folks, that end product is wonderful, isn't it? Thirdly, there's the pay of praise and honor and respect for moms. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Proverbs 31, 28 and 29. I may have told you this story. My son, he was valedictorian of his class. So as valedictorian, you have to give a speech, don't you? The principal was worried we were worried what Michael was going to say, because Michael is a goofball. But after he kind of goofed off at first, there was one person he praised. And guess who that was? That was Kathleen. I would not be standing here today if it had not been for my mother. Folks, there were about 300 or 400 people in that audience that night who heard that. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And lastly, there is that reward of heaven, isn't there? Folks, you know, it just amazes me to think that we believe all that we do is for naught. And sometimes we think that because we don't see a lot of immediate reward, don't we? We don't see the fruits at this particular time. And we grow frustrated and we think, you know, it's kind of futile. This is just useless. It's meaningless. And the reality is that no work for God is meaningless. And there is a wonderful work for God that mothers do every day, isn't there? And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, that they may rest from their labors, now listen to him, and their works do follow them. Proverbs 14:13. Folks, God's eyes are upon the righteous, and he sees everything we do. And you want to know what's wonderful? God notes everything we do. I had to patch up a bum knee. God writes down, patched up a bum knee. I had to stay up 5 hours with my child screaming last night because of colic or whatever. Stayed up 5 hours with baby last night. Mom was the only one at the basketball game. And Junior made a goal, and Mama stood up and said, yeah, good, Junior. Mom hollered, hoorah for Junior today. Folks, let me tell you what, God knows what's going on. And God watches those works, and those works do follow you. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, listen to him, according to their works. God knows what mamas do. Moms have taken a hard, hard lick in our present day society. You know that? They're just not honored and respected as much as they used to be. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take us, Christians, to stand up and to fight for the position of motherhood again, aren't we? First, we're going to have to rally around moms, and we're going to have to not let individuals take away that position and take away the respect and honor that is deserving of that position. I found this poem. It's entitled Mothers Are Special, and it goes like this. There is no love like a mother's love, no stronger bond on earth, like the precious bond that comes from God to a mother when she gives birth. A mother's love is forever strong, never changing for all time. And when her children need her most, a mother's love will shine. God bless these special mothers. God bless them, everyone, for all the tears and heartaches and for the special work they've done. When her days on earth are over, a mother's love lives on through many generations with God's blessings on each one. Be thankful for our mothers, for they love with a higher love from the power God has given and the strength from up above. Folks, we love our moms, don't we? We appreciate them. And you moms who are being moms right now, you just keep on keeping on. Mean or whatever it takes, you just keep on being a good mom. Folks, it's difficult to do anything well unless we are governed by the law of the Almighty God. Unless our lives have been dedicated to Him. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning, and we want you to be. The steps are simple. An individual must hear the gospel of Christ, James 1, verse 19. He must believe with every fiber of his being that God exists and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11, 6, and that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8, 24. That belief will then move that individual to repent of his sins, Acts 17, 30. That individual will come forth with faith, confessing the name of the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and will be buried in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sin, Acts 2, 38, 22, 16. Won't you do that this morning? Maybe you're an erring child of God and you've not been faithful. You need to repent of those sins and ask God to forgive you. Folks, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1, verse 9. Won't you do that this morning? Won't you come as we stand and sing?